Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Pastor Cheryl Thaxton for Save the Life. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we've been on a series of the process of Dare, where we're walking through the Bible, looking at individuals in the Bible and seeing their human state and the place of where we are and what we go through in our time. Circumstances might be a little bit different, but it's the same thing. So I thank God for you joining me today and for you being here to hear the Word of God as we walk by faith and trust God to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask, think, or even imagine in the process of there. He's shaping us and making us in a way that we can never, ever, ever, ever do in our own efforts, own strength, own power. And he's making us for the kingdom and for the glory of God to save many lives, to bring glory of him in the earth, and to let people know that God is God no matter what, and he can turn anything around, make anything happen in our life that is for his glory. So today we are addressing something that the Lord had brought to my attention, and it is the transfer of something innocent into something that goes to every generation. And we're going to look at the life of Jacob, but we're going to go back and look at Abraham and Isaac as well, and also spring forward and look at Jacob's sons and what is produced, and even in the seed of Israel. As we know that Jacob was a trickster, and he himself deceived his brother in some aspect out of his own birthright. And many of us understand and know what it is to be deceitful in many areas. And if we say that we've never been deceitful, never been dishonest, never lied, never cheated, then we're lying, because we have. Even when we were children, we were dishonest to our parents. We told little fibs, and we took things, and we conned our way to go to things. We worked on a parent that we thought we could get more influence with to get our way. That character, that influence, that even type of ability has even transferred into our lives as adults, with our relationships and our homes, our marriages, on our jobs, even in the church. And that's the characteristic that, you know, we see, but we want God to work on us that we get it out of us, because we find out that we cannot manipulate God. We might manipulate man and cheat man and be deceitful to man and even lie to man, but you can't do that with God. So it's something that he wants to work on us with, because the Bible lets us know in the New Testament that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster, a place of learning, so that we don't repeat the same mistakes as Israel, that we don't walk into the same things that caused them to miss or even forfeit some things in their lives that should have been theirs. So we're using, even though we're under grace, we're using the New Testament and the Old Testament combined to show how, under the grace of God, we are being changed and we are being reshaped and we are developing into the character of Jesus Christ. So we want to look, first of all, with Abraham. And this deceptiveness, we don't know much about Abraham's father, because the Bible does not give us a great indication about his life and even about his character. We know that he was with Abraham and Sarah and that he died. But we know that Abraham didn't just develop this character of being deceitful or deceitful or lying on his own, that it was passed through the generation. So we see this happening twice in the life of Abraham, because twice his wife was brought before a king, and because he was afraid that she was going to be taken and he was going to be killed, he said to her, "Tell them that I am your brother." So they began a deceitful act of pretending that they were not who they were, that they were not connected. But they were discovered, and God even stepped in and intervened. So we see that character and that act of being using trickery in Abraham. But it also shows up in Isaac, because when Isaac had his wife and they were in the kingdom with a king, Abimelech, and he was afraid that the men were going to want her because she was very beautiful, he told her to do the same thing as his father did, to say that she was his sister. And what happened was the king saw them together. And when he saw them together, he knew that the way that they were behaving and how he was handling her and touching her and looking at her was not that of a brother and sister, that they were actually husband and wife. So we see this deception being passed down from not just Abraham to Isaac, and now it goes to Jacob. And even though God gives a prophecy and a word to Rachel and lets her know that in your belly are two nations, and the older shall serve the younger, he's letting her know what's going on, but also what's going to transpire. They help God out, so to speak. His twin brother, had already given up, Esau had already given up his birthright. He gave it up for food. And even though you see as when the father's getting ready to bless him and Jacob's getting ready to bless him, and he says that he tricked me out of my birthright, he didn't trick him. His brother willingly gave it up because he said he was starving. And what good is a birthright if I'm dead, if I'm not here, I'm starving. So he gave up willingly his birthright. But then what happens is this same trickery goes in when his mother helps him in disguising himself for the blessing that his father was going to give. And in doing that, we see this trickery go in a little bit further. We see him even in the way that he handles Laman's sheep and how he does certain things to make the sheep produce to look like what he said that he was going to receive out of the flock of Laban. And we see this process of deception that starts with Abraham as far as we can trace, but we know that it began before that. And we see this trickery and this deception and this lie going forth and going through the generations. Well, it did not just end with Jacob. We see this same pattern in his sons, and we see it in his sons when Tamar was raped by Shushan, the prince, and we see that he then desired her and wanted to marry her and asked his father to go and get permission from Jacob. Could he marry her? That the brothers were so angry that they said, you can't marry her because you're not circumcised. They then deceived the men to become circumcised so they can slay them. So we see the same deception and the way that they handle their lives, especially the first older ones. We also see it in their choices and how they choose women and how they conduct their lives and even how they make decisions, not being faithful over their word, to the point where one of the daughter-in-laws end up disguising herself as a prostitute because the father would not honor her and actually go in and give her to his son because two of the sons had died. So we see this, and even in how they treated Joseph, we see the deception, the same deception. They trick the father into believing that the son is dead, and they come up with this irreverent plan of how the extravagant plan of how they're going to deceive the father and say that an animal ravished him and they put blood and they tear his coat and they do all of these things. And for 17 years, they go through this plan and this plot without letting on to the father that they actually sold him. So we see this deception that has come down through the generations. And even though God used this to do his will because he already knew what was in their heart and he already knew what they were going to do, and it did not make them not be the people that he said they were going to be. It did not make him not withdraw his spirit or not use them or not have a plan or a purpose, but it was the character that we're seeing here that God basically is letting us know that's not the character you're supposed to have. And even in the New Testament, we're not to deceive one another or mishandle one another, because we understand that each individual belongs to the Lord and they're precious in his sight, and he has a plan and a purpose for them. And Jesus even said we're not to be prejudiced against one another. We're not supposed to show that. Paul addresses this when he sees the apostles trying to be prejudiced between the Gentiles and the Jews. And he lets them know, even Peter, he says, you know, don't do this. Don't treat one one way and treat the other way and act a certain way, because it's deceptive. You're basically saying that the way you're acting is not, they're not good enough to receive that which God has already freely paid for. So we understand that we're to break off these things that are, that can transcend to our children. There are things that go through the generations that we have to stop. And if we're the ones that need to stop it, then God needs to, is giving us this word to make us accountable. Because there are some things that we don't even see the harm in it, but really when we start seeing it manifest in our children or in our nieces and our nephews, because it's gone through the family line, or even in our grandchildren, then we understand the importance of cutting it off. But God is giving us a warning now to not allow that thing to come in and deceive or cut off or even steal or rob from us anymore. There are certain things in our character and our behavior and our conduct, we know we have to cut it off. We know we have to not allow this thing to transfer any longer, do any more damage, plant any more seeds, because we understand that every generation grows wiser and more wickeder. In other words, they have the ability to be wise in the devices that come out of wickedness, wickedness schemes, wicked devices that are being being thought of and invented, but also in actions, thoughts, and deeds, more wickeder. But they are weak in the fact that they cannot, they do not have the power within themselves to break and destroy the thing that come after them. They don't have the power to break and destroy the thing that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, the device of the enemy through the works of the flesh, even the things that the enemy uses. So we understand that God is calling us to be the people who really walk in his righteousness, who really walk in his holiness, who really destroy and bruise the head of the enemy, not only in the our flesh and in our character and how we conduct ourselves. We're seeing here right now through Abraham all the way through the children of Israel, and even and when you study the tribes and how they acted and how they behaved even after Joshua takes them into the promised land, they didn't always choose the right thing. But God is letting us know we can cut it off. We can stop it. We don't have to let that thing live. We don't have to let that thing manifest in the generations of our family, of our lives, of even our youth. We can cut it off now by changing mindsets about small things. It's the little foxes that spoil the whole vine. So it's those little things in our characters that we probably think is nothing that will spoil generations. So God is letting us know, even though you see it manifest, you have to change it. Thank you so much for joining me in Favor Life today. Pray that you will be with me tomorrow to learn more and to hear more in the Word of God. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.